It's chapter 12, and we began the last time we got together talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, if you want to start a fight, talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because everybody somehow breaks out of their shell and becomes an expert on one side or the other. It's always wise to just go right back to the Bible and look at the Bible and see what it says. Always. Thank you for the emails straightening me out this week. I got pretty sick Friday. If there was sin in my life, I threw it up. So that's cleared out. So thank you for your prayers. I understand how you might think that the gifts have ceased. I understand that. I disagree with you. But I understand how you feel, so thank you for letting me know how wrong I was. We'll talk about it today, and you're going to see I still don't agree with you. But notice that salvation is not by agreement with Bob. You don't have to agree with me. You agree with me, that'll get you nowhere. It won't even get you a free cup of coffee in our own coffee shop. And I don't have to agree with you. And I don't. A lot of times. I love you, but I got to go with what the Bible says. And that's the best way to... So we will agree to disagree, and we won't fight. Right? Do this when you mean yes, and this when you mean no. Did you check them for guns at the door? It's a pretty tough crowd right in the middle here. Verse 7. We got all the way through verse 7, but let's begin. Let me read verse 7 again so we get a running start at it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In American, every one of us, everyone that is truly born again, has been given gifts of the Holy Spirit, you too. Not for your own blessing necessarily, or not for your own show, but so that the church will profit and be encouraged and strengthened, and that the gospel will go forward, right? Now, look at verse 8. We're going to talk about the gifts themselves. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Word of wisdom. Let's just talk about the gifts. He's going to break down just a few of them for us. So let's look. Wisdom, we've learned as we studied through the book of Proverbs, simply, wisdom is simply this. The ability to use knowledge. You know that's what wisdom is. Now the wisdom that comes from above is first what? Pure. That's right. A word of wisdom comes normally at a time, normally, when a critical issue arises or when an important decision needs to be made. A word of wisdom. It's, how do I want to put this? It's being able to speak wisdom to an individual in a specific instance. The examples that you can see are the Bible's filled with them, but if you think about 1 Kings chapter 3 and Solomon, who was a wise king, and the two ladies who had given birth to the babies close to one another, and remember one of the babies had died, and they came to Solomon and they said, we both had babies, they're pretty near the same age, and one died, but mine lived. And the other lady said, no, mine lived. So they both claimed to have the living baby. The one that died was yours. Remember how Solomon, he spoke that word of wisdom. You say, I don't remember that. Okay, well, take some time today, go back and read 1 Kings chapter 3. You'll see a simple word of wisdom there. How Solomon was able to deal with that. There are times in the New Testament when Jesus himself demonstrated a word of wisdom. The Pharisees figured they had him. I know that you saw this many times. Excuse me. It's a catch-22. The Pharisees say, now if he says this, we got him here. And if he says that, we got him there. Jesus comes out with something unexpected, word of wisdom, shocked each one of them each time. Many times, listen closely, many times someone will ask you a simple question. You know, this is going on in my life. Here's what's happening in my business, or this is what's happening around school, or here's this is what happened in my home last night. and they'll begin to talk to you. And you really won't know the answer, but you'll begin to share with them. And when you do, many times, you'll share with them a scripture, and you're not even sure where that scripture came from. It ever happened to you? Nobody. Okay. Lousy, lousy point. Really? It never happened to you at all? Yes, it has, hasn't it? But for you to admit that it has happened is for you to admit that, say, yeah, a word of wisdom. That's a supernatural gift. God gave you that scripture, and you'll speak that in someone's life. And oh my goodness, the gifts are being used today. Oh, but it gets worse. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. Information given to you or to someone supernaturally. Something that you would not have ordinarily known is a word of knowledge. It happens quite often. Again, you'll notice, while we're talking with one another. Simple talking before church, after church, maybe on the phone you call someone to see how they're doing. You see someone downtown or wherever, and you begin to talk. Hey, it's good to see you. You start to talk. You simply are talking with one another. And let's see if this has ever happened to you. You'll say something that seems to be so out of line, out of nowhere, and throw it in the conversation. And you'll even think, why did I say that? Where did that come from? And that person will see you at church again the next week or call you on the phone and say, you know, that you shared with me, that's exactly what I was needing to hear. Has it ever happened to you? Let's see hands this time. You know what that was? A word of knowledge. A supernatural word of knowledge. What I like, and you'll see me sometimes walk through the church and just, I don't stop and talk to people. I'll say hello and let you keep talking to one another. And I watch these gifts taking place. No show, no circus, no electricity, no bright lights. I just see the body ministering to the body. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are taking place. Word of knowledge. I was sitting in a big bar room in Chicago. Now you say, I'm not coming back to his church. No, it was years ago. I was still playing music at the time, and I think God was speaking to my heart to get me out of it. I think. I was a little slow, and I didn't want to quit. And that's what I'd been doing for so many years. This is how close I was to getting out of this music business. I would go down before these concerts or before the shows that we were doing, these gigs that we were doing, and I would sit wherever we were going to be. If it was a stadium, I would just go out and sit on the stage. If it was a bar room, this particular bar room was right there at Chicago and probably sat a couple of thousand. It was huge. And I would sit in the chair in the corner. I remember I was doing this. I would go down, leave the guys to get ready, and I would go down, and I would start to pray for the people that were coming to the bar that night. Is that weird or what? That is so weird. And I would sit, and I'd pray for the people that are going to be at this table, and the people over there, and the people over there. But I hadn't talked to my parents in a while, probably a month or so, because when you're on the road, you just don't call every, 30 minutes. No, we didn't. Cell phones you didn't do back then. But something was bothering me about my mom, but I didn't know what it was. And I'm not one of those that worries about feelings, and I'm not one that sees demons behind everything. But something, I just felt something's wrong with my mom, and I didn't understand it. So I began to pray. Lord, I don't understand, but my mom, she's really heavy in my heart. I don't understand what's going on. Started to pray for my mom. There was a couple. This place is almost empty because I'm there a couple hours before anything's supposed to happen. This place is almost empty, but there's an old couple sitting way over on the other side. And by old, I mean, I was probably 26 years old, and they were even old, I thought. They had to be in their 70s, 80s, 90s, somewhere in there. When you're 26, anybody that's over 30 is really, they're not going to pull through. So this is an old couple. Right now, I'm almost 75 myself, so I'm thinking people that are 106 are starting to push it. I looked at them, and I remember I was praying for my mom to nobody but God, not out loud. They called me over, and the waitress even said, they want you to come to their table. I don't know them. We're in Chicago. I don't know anybody in Chicago. I went over to their table. They said, sit down, young man. And I sat down. He says, a little small talk. You play with the band, don't you? Yes, sir, I do. He says, I've got a word from the Lord for you. And I'm thinking, these old people sitting in a bar, they're going to give me a word from the Lord, right? And I thought, you were in the corner. You belong, Lord, sitting in a bar praying. So I thought, oh, well, whatever. He looked at me and said, I want you to know, God wants you to know your mother's going to be fine. You know what that was? It was a word of knowledge that God had given to him to share with me. That's what it was. Nobody knew. I mean, somebody says maybe they were angels. I didn't tell the angels either. I only prayed to God silently. Nobody knew. That person said, your mother's going to be all right. She's going to be fine. I never told the soul. It's a word of knowledge. Hey, from the front here, many churches this takes place. Anybody that's teaching the word of God? Many churches. Here's the scenario. You bring a friend to church. You ever done that? Let's see hands. Why haven't the rest of you? No, I'm just kidding. It was a joke. Well, smile. You bring a friend to church and we're going verse by verse through wherever we're at. And when they leave angry. What did you do? Tell him about me before I got there? How many times have you seen that happen? You know what that was? It was a word of knowledge. Spoke right directly to them. Didn't even know it. He even looked at me when he talked about having an affair. You told him, didn't you? I think you'll find the gifts are in operation. Word of knowledge is very simple. Verse 9 says, to another, he gives faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Faith. This is not saving faith he's referring to. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians tells us that. So this is not saving faith. He's talking to Christians, Spirit-filled, that the Spirit gives supernatural giftings. And he says one of them is faith. It's a bigger faith than what you're normally used to dealing with. And I think, according to Scripture, for a specific task. Or another way that one writer puts it is an unusual measure of faith. For special circumstances. I remember Pastor Chuck telling us about a time where he was up front and people had come up, you know, because people came up to ask him questions or a few other things. And a family rolled their dad in his wheelchair down to the front. And Pastor Chuck saw them coming. He thought, oh, that's kind of neat. The family's coming up. Maybe they got a question. And they came to him and they said, Pastor Chuck, would you pray for our dad? And he thought, well, sure, I'd be happy to. So he put his hands on the man's shoulders, and as he began to pray, he said, the Lord just laid it on my heart to pull him out of the chair. Chuck thought, I can't do that. He'll fall down. That'd be embarrassing. Oh, I can't. But he said, it was like the faith just welled up in me to where I just grabbed his hands and lifted him up, and the man stood out of the chair and walked. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the family just broke into tears. Everyone in the family just burst into tears. And one of the ladies through tears said, oh, Pastor Chuck, we never expected him to walk. We brought him up so you'd pray for his cold. And he said something that I think is true. He said, if they'd have told me that before, I don't think the faith would have been there. It was a gift of faith for a specific circumstance. Guy still walks today. Chuck said, a few weeks later, another guy came down in the wheelchair, prayed for him. Didn't even heal his cold. Couldn't walk, and he's still left with a cold. I mean, you see? But healing, that's the next one. He says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Well, healing, that's pretty clear. Healing is easy to understand. Now, I don't think that, God has gifted us as human beings, doctors and nurses and the medical professions all. Now, I think healing takes place. God does it through these people, through medicines and therapies and etc. I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think this is talking about a miraculous, supernatural healing. And you see that throughout Scripture. And as you leave the United States and get out there into Africa, into these far off places, where you don't have a lot of medical attention, you do see these healings pretty regularly. You see, God as long as he is God, will always be able to heal. Always. Doesn't matter what anybody tells you. He's God. He can always heal as long as he's God. And how long will he be God? Right. Forever and ever. He always was, he is, and always will be. God Almighty. We go to verse 10. We read, to another, the working of miracles. You say, well, that's healing, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's miraculous healing. But this working of miracles would be something different than healing. For instance, raising someone from the dead. You see, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, Paul pray, and Eutychus is raised from the dead. Remember, he fell asleep in church? Remember, and he fell out that third floor window? Going to fall asleep in church, get a good, comfortable, solid spot. Paul prayed for him and he was healed. He was raised from the dead. Tabitha, Dorcas, she was a seamstress, remember, made clothes, a lot of clothes for people. She was healed. Miracles. By the way, as long as God is God, he will always be able to do miracles. Now, a miracle is something that is supernatural, that breaks all the laws that we know. For instance, what I mean is, if we were able to get a hold of Paul the Apostle and just real quick grab him and bring him into our time from his time, and if he saw a 747 take off, he would say, it's a miracle. And we say, no, it's just that we've learned a little bit about aerodynamics and we've learned the law. This is talking about, Scripture is referring to something that is supernatural, above the natural, no explanation except that it was a miracle. And God still does those, by the way, and can always. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Prophecy. When we think prophecy, we think Miss Cleo. Well, maybe not. Okay. Jean Dixon. Nostradamus. What a name. I mean, who thought of that? We could name him Billy or Nostro. How? Aren't you glad anyway. What is prophecy? Simply speaking forth the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is simply speaking forth the word of God. Not only telling the future, but also telling you the past and what's going on now. It's speaking forth the word. That's easy to understand. But usually we're into the biggie stuff, so we want the future. And so because we want the future, we go to palm readers at the county fair and we pay them to tell us our what? Our past. You paid somebody to tell you what you already did? It's a joke. $10 to tell me what I did? It's a waste of $10. I already know what I did. And I don't want you to tell me who I'm going to marry. When I was young, I said, don't tell me who I'm going to marry. I might not like it. You got to be kidding, right? You're paying money to go to these people, these guessers. It's the word of the Lord. Forth telling, or speaking forth God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit. To another, verse 10, discerning of spirits. Now, a discerning of spirits is something that we all really would pray that we would have, but obviously we'll talk about having those gifts, but I think in the ministry, that's something guys and girls in the ministry ought to be praying for. A discerning of spirits, it's the ability, supernatural ability, to recognize evil spirits, to recognize them. Now, this gift, discerning of spirit, is often confused with the gift that I call the gift of suspicion. Christians have that, and that's a very, very common gift, the gift of suspicion. I don't like her. Why? I don't know. Something about her bugs me. I just don't like her. Look at him. He's a jerk. That's the gift of suspicion. That's not from the Holy Spirit. That's coming from another place. That's not supernatural. That's very natural. That's the flesh. That's us. This is talking about discerning of spirits, an ability. Not a bad feeling either, but a knowing. You know what I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. May not make sense to you, but it's a knowing. It can present a problem, that gift, if handled incorrectly. All of them can, but I mean this one certainly can. Because you may know a deceiver's true character. And many times you assume everybody knows. And it gets weird real quickly. You start talking and it becomes a mess. When that gift is present, or when it takes place, you know. It's plain, it's clear that this person is a problem, that the spirit behind this is a problem. And you can't understand how others would follow them, but others do. And others seem to think they're the greatest thing in the world. I have met some people over the last 5-6 years that I could probably, without judging, say they are wolves. And I watch people following them now. Amazes me. Not a lot I can do about it unless people ask me, but good examples, if you want to see modern day examples, are simple examples like Jim Jones. We listened to Jim Jones and there was no question. I just knew. Not because I'm so smart, I just knew. And you think everybody knows, but thousands followed Jim. Or Bhagwan Rajneesh Bagful, what, that guy. You think nobody's gonna, this is obviously clearly evil. Thousands upon thousands follow. That weird dude in Oregon, or was there, he's dead now, but my wife and I, we met a man in southern Arizona. We were invited to a meeting that he held. Almost immediately, without even talking to each other, we knew. You just knew. It wasn't like there was lightning or there was this oppressive feeling or dark. You just knew this guy's off the wall. Nobody's going to listen to this. And the church just loved him. We just thought, this is crazy. Many people were hurt by this man because they followed him. It's called discerning of spirits, not gift of suspicion. He goes on, he says, now, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. Well, contrary to what's being fought about now, that just simply means different kinds of tongues. Or the ability to speak in languages that you've never learned. See how simple that is? The ability, supernatural ability, to speak in a language that you have never learned. It's called tongues, that's what it is. Now, another is listed, the interpretation of tongues. That is another supernatural gift, an ability to interpret a language that you have never studied or learned. Those are all real life gifts that take place regularly, even today. But notice verse 11. All these worketh the one, or that one, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So there's a key verse there. It all comes from the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit. It all comes from the Holy Spirit, who gives to every person as he chooses to give. Notice that. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that chooses which gifts to give you at which time, depending upon what's going on. Doesn't he? That's what Scripture says. Choosing as he will to give to me and to give to you. Our problem is we don't like a lot of times what he's chosen. Notice that? We'll talk about that in a second, but isn't that true? Do this. Oh yeah. Sure. So God, I could do that. How come he's doing that? I could do that. I'm smarter than him. See, a lot of trouble in the church because of that kind of attitude. Notice God, the Holy Spirit, decides who gets what gift. They're real. There's no question about that. They've been so abused and misused, as they are being abused and misused at Corinth here, that people today are afraid of the Holy Ghost. Afraid. Think about that, being afraid of God. Because he's going to make you do something so bizarre, so weird. He's going to make you wear like a snowshoe and an ice skate or go out nude. Remember those two girls that were arrested walking down the streets in San Francisco? They had covered themselves with mustard. And they were arrested, and of course, when the police arrested them, the girls said, "You're persecuting us." "No, you're a wacko, woman." They covered themselves with mustard because they said you have to have the faith of a mustard seed. So instead of wearing clothes, they covered themselves with mustard and were out preaching the gospel. So the Holy Spirit told them to do that. Listen, I have heard some strange things in my life, and I keep thinking, oh, that's it. It can't get any worse. But it does. It gets worse, and you see the weirdest things. And they're attributed, well, God told me to do that. I had to blow up this building. God said I better blow this up. Yeah, God said we should set this on fire. Oh, yeah, God told me to do this. But yes, yeah, he told you to stand underwater and stack BBs. Oh, yeah. What for? Well, I don't know. He's just God. And so people think, I don't want to be a Christian, and I certainly don't want the Holy Spirit, because you know what will happen? I'll go nude and smear mustard on myself, and I don't need that. And you think, well, I don't blame you. Now look at this. For as the body is one, verse 12, and has many members, all the members of that one body being many or one body, so also is Christ. Just as you have a body and it's got all kinds of parts and pieces to it, Jesus Christ is the same way. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be slaves, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body, really? If your foot says, okay, I'm not a hand, so therefore I'm not really part of the body, he says, does that really make it not part of the body? No, of course, it's part of the body still. If the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, I've heard jokes like that, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were a big, giant, six-foot ear, how would you smell things? You wouldn't have a nose. It'd be one big ear. It'd be ugly, too. Not that your ear is ugly. It's not that. I mean, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Again, not only does the Spirit of the living God give you the gifts he chooses to give you, but he also places you in the body to use them in the spot where he wants you. Think about that. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now they, now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no division, no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We are all, he says, one body. All of us. And we should function as one body. You know, some are hands, some are feet, some are eyes, some are ears, et cetera, et cetera. And so it goes. But God has given you a gift or two, supernatural. Not only has he given you that, but since you're part of the body, he places you then in the body where you can function. Now our trouble comes in when we don't like the gift and the place where he's put us. Then we start to have schisms or divisions in the body, don't we? I don't want to be an ear. I want to be the mouth. Well, I don't want to be an eye. I want to be one of the feet. I want to get around. But I don't want to be the knees. Nobody does things with their knees. I want to be the hands. I mean, God made me an elbow. What did they do? Nothing, they bend. And you start to have fights among brothers and sisters. And division in the body. Now what if your body, your physical body, started to act like the body of Jesus Christ, like the body of Jesus Christ is acting now? What if your body began to act like the church is acting right now? Would you be in trouble or what? Your kidneys wake up one morning and they're talking. One of them says to the other, I'm a kidney, you know. Hey, so am I. What? I am too. I'm not the only kidney. No, man. I'm doing a good job too. That's it. I quit. I'm shutting down. I thought I was the only one. What happens if one of your kidneys shut down? You say, no problem. I got another one. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Tell me how you feel. How about your liver? What if your liver got smart one day and said, oil filter? All you think of me like is a filter? I'm not filtering. How would your body do if your liver decided its feelings were hurting, it shut down? How would you do? I think you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? Your feet get angry? Wait a minute. I have taken us everywhere for the longest time. The legs go, you're crazy. You're holding us up, right? But it's us legs that are doing it. And the brain goes, I'm the one. I'm taking this everywhere. If I didn't think about it, you wouldn't even go. All right, none of us are moving. That's what the church is doing right now, today. That's how we are. Oh, you're the brain? Oh, then I quit. Oh, you're a kidney too? Then you don't need me. What's going on? There's division. There's a division in the body, and it hurts the body of Jesus Christ. God tells me in His Word, He's given me supernatural gifts, whatever they might be. And along with those, then the Lord places me in the body where He wants me. If I would just serve Him and love Him there, the body will function. Everything will be okay. If we would all do that. But a lot of times we're not happy with the place He's given us. I'll tell you the truth. It's embarrassing, but I was young. I remember complaining about the position He put me in the body. And I was praying just me and God. I said, Lord, I know I'm part of Your body, but I feel like the rear end. I was just being honest and, you know, complaining, whine, pegging the wham meter. Wah! You know what God said? I didn't hear a loud voice. I didn't hear thunder. Simply this, that allows me to sit at the right hand of my Father. I thought, you can't get nothing past Him. Even the rear end has a job. You start to think, look at me, I'm nothing. Wait, you're part of the body. Notice something. So there'll be no division in the body. Look at verse 26. When one member suffers, all the members suffer. You think, I don't understand it. Yeah, you really do. You get up at night. It's about 3 a.m. It's dark. You don't feel good. You're maybe headed for the bathroom or you're so thirsty you want to go to the kitchen. And you're walking along and you stub your little toe. What happens? Your lungs help because they breathe in all the air in the room. And then your mouth and your vocal cords, they proceed to explain to anybody who's... And usually they're asleep, but you want to tell everybody, I think I hurt my foot! And you're yelling. And your little toe doesn't want to do anything, so it wants to stay off the ground. And so your other foot goes... I mean, your whole body just joins in. Why? Because one little part is hurting. Doesn't it? Try it. See if I'm right. Your whole body knows. And it's just a little bitty thing, too. It's true. Somebody said about slashing their wrists. They were talking about that. I said, you know, that's foolish. Because when you slash your left wrist and leave it to die, eventually your right wrist dies, too. Point? You're part of the body. When part of the body hurts, the whole body is affected. Don't you understand that? When you shut down and think, I want to be that, I want to be this. How come nobody notices me? How come I can't? Hey, I'm going to. You know what's happening? There's division. The body is sick. And it's hurt. But on the other hand, look at the rest of the verse. One member suffer, all members suffer. Or one member be honored. This is verse 26. All the members rejoice with it. You know something? Jesus Christ, the head, is going to rule and reign forever and ever, all throughout eternity. Now, you're part of his body. Where will you be? Even if you say, I'm the smallest little part, I'm the elbow, I'm the useless, where will you be? Right there with Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning forever and ever as well. Because when one member is honored, the whole body is honored. God has given to me what he's given to me. God has given to you what he's given to you. We shouldn't complain that others have better, have more, have stronger, have longer. We should simply say, thank you, Lord. Let me serve. It's part of your body. Just let me serve. That's the way the church will remain healthy. And he says this, now you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and members in particular, each one of you. Those of you that are born again, all of us that are Christians, we're members of the body of Christ. And God hath set some in the church, and he's going to give us a list of order, of importance now. Interesting. First, apostles. You remember those guys. Secondarily, prophets. We've talked about that. Thirdly, teachers. And then comes miracles. Then the gifts of healing. Then of helps, governments. And then finally, different tongues, different languages. So he gives us kind of an order. Tongues falls at the bottom. But isn't that like us? What do we fight over the most? Probably tongues. Even though it's the bottom. We have, you know, we never learned it. We continue to major on the minors and minor on the majors. That's us. We can't seem to get it right. We just got to fight about something among ourselves. And so there's another thing. And notice what he says. He gives us a list. But in that list, he gives us two more gifts. You notice it's not exhaustive in 1 Corinthians 12, but he gives us a couple more gifts. Here's something that's kind of neat. One of those gifts is called the gift of helps. That gift is simply a supernatural ability to serve. I've seen people around here with it. And they amaze me. You never hear them. You never hear about them. Many people don't even know they're around. They just serve. Hours and hours. They don't complain. They don't want to run it. They don't want to control it. They don't want to own it. They just simply do it. And you don't know they're doing it. They're just there. And it's like you come in sometimes and it's miraculously done. It's a gift. It's not natural. It's a supernatural ability. There's another gift listed here called governments. I can tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I do not have that gift. The word you and I would use as this gift for governments is administration. Directors, those who take care of all those details, administrate. It's a supernatural gift. It's not just an ability you learned in college or high school. Some people are good at putting things together, but some people are gifted. And there's a big difference. And that's what he lists. Then he goes on to ask us rhetorical questions. A rhetorical question is a question that doesn't expect you to answer. The reason is the answer is always understood. When a question is asked, nobody answers it because it's understood. When your boss looks at you and says, do you think I was born yesterday? The answer is understood. You don't answer that. If you got any sense, you want to keep that job, you just smile or whatever. And your dad says, do I have stupid written all over my face? You don't answer that. I wondered what that word was. Been down here, Dad. No, because then they'll be hearing about you in the paper. No, that's a rhetorical question. It's a question, the answer is understood, so you don't need to answer it. But I'm going to ask you to answer these for me. I think it'll help you. Even though the answer is understood, let's say what the answer is out loud. Here's the question. Number one, are all apostles? Before you answer, I'm not an apostle. Are you an apostle? Are you? Wait, are all apostles? What do you think the answer to that is? Are you sure? I have no doubt. All are not apostles. Now, when I do this to you, you know I'm going to make a point, don't you? Okay, keep going. Are all prophets? Absolutely not. Are all teachers? Oh, Lord, if I had a nickel for everybody that told me they were. You listen to him for 30 minutes, you go, he's not one. She's not one. No, I'm going to tell you right now, all are not teachers. And they prove it many, many times. I know men out there running churches today that are not teachers. They're just doing it because they didn't want to go to work. They thought it wasn't going to be work. Are all workers of miracles? No. How about this one? Have all the gifts of healing? The last few people I prayed for died. I hate it when that happens. It looks bad. Little baby. Mama comes in and says, our baby needs eye surgery. Would you pray? We're in southern Arizona. I said, yeah, we'll pray. I don't know how to pray. I just got before the Lord. I just said, Lord, please just touch this baby. Heal the baby. They took the baby into surgery and their eyes were healed. They didn't need to do anything. So I thought, I got it. Oh, I got it. Yeah, I'm not going to brag, but I got it. I mean, I hate to say this, but who was doing the praying out loud? Me. What happened to the baby? See? Next week, a lady comes up and says, my mom's really sick. Please, I know you guys prayed for the baby and the baby was healed. I go, yeah, it was me. She prayed for my mother. I said, sure, we prayed. Her mom died within an hour. It's been that way ever since. After church, every one of you knows, and this is the truth, I don't come up here and pray with people. I want everybody to live. I let everybody else handle that, man. We don't need that. I'm just teasing you, by the way. I do pray for you, but one of the reasons I don't pray is because if I come up here, everybody's going to think my prayer is more special than everybody else's, and we all know that's not a fact. So that's why I let the other people handle it. But you know, I don't have the gift. Are you a healer? Okay, if you're not, then do all have the gift of healing? No. All right, then. You're going to have to answer the next one. Sorry. Do all speak with tongues? Say it out loud. Don't you dare let anybody ever tell you again that the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Why? Because Scripture clearly says all of us won't do that. You still born again? Yes, just as much. God still love you? Yes, just as much. You still just as Spirit-filled? Yes, just as much. But you may not be Superman or Superwoman. Now, do all interpret? Man, I don't even do that with English. Do you? No, all don't interpret. So I want you to know. I go slowly to that. You know why? Because I want you to know that you are loved. That you're all right. That God still fills your heart and your life. D.L. Moody said, we are cracked vessels. We leak. So God fills you with His Spirit. And through the weak, we run down, don't we? You hear me pray often. I hope you pray often. Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. Fill me for the job that I'm going to do right now. Give me the strength, the gifts, the ability. Give me what I need to just do this simple little thing. If I'm an elbow, Lord, let me bend without cracking. Just let me do for your glory. Now notice the last verse as we close. But covet earnestly the best gifts. He says, desire earnestly. That means to eagerly aspire after the best gifts. That would mean the greater, the weightier, the more important gifts. Now put that together. I know that I'm not just going to take control and tell God, here's what I want, here's what I'm willing to do, and this is how it's going to go. No, because the Holy Spirit gives to me as He chooses, and then puts me in the position that He Himself wants me in. But I have a responsibility in it to continue to pray and to say, Lord, give me what I need. Let me see. Let me grow. Let me use. I think that there's a misunderstanding about the gifts, and I think a lot of people think you're born with them and you just develop them. So a lot of people think music is a gift. No. Music is something that was probably there when you got there, and you can develop that. But trust me, you can't develop knowing things that you don't know. The Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, and it's supernaturally done, a word of wisdom. The faith, that's just that increase of faith, the where you can speak to the mountain, and it would move. Those are things that the Spirit of God does. And He says, desire earnestly. Are you praying about these things? Are you saying, Lord, give me what I need? I'm part of your body, and I don't know what part I am, and it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be used. I just want to serve you. I just want to love you. Give me what I need to do that today. He says, but you know, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And what he means by that is, here's how these gifts work, and here's how you walk in the Spirit, how you walk in them. This is the way you must walk in the use of these gifts. He says, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. This is the best way to handle all this. Now that's chapter 13. We won't go into it today. But he's setting us up for it. Because it's love. And haven't we been talking about that since we started 1 Corinthians? Isn't that how we live this free life in Jesus Christ? Remember, we've talked about how free we are. And that freedom is regulated by what? Love. How other people are doing. What's happening to them. What's going on in their hearts. I'm free to do this, but what will it do to my friends? How will it affect them? Will this strengthen them up? And so you begin to walk in love. So you say, oh man, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want those. Well, whatever gift I might be given, I want to use it in love. The way that would bring God glory. That's what he's saying. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Go back when you get some time and read through it. See, make sure it says that. Read your Bible. See what it says there. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. You say, is it scriptural to be filled over and over? You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, they are Spirit-filled and there's a whole mess going on. Remember that day 3,000 were saved at least? In the book of Acts chapter 4, they were filled again. And they spoke the word boldly. Recall that? And then the Spirit came upon Paul again in this heaven. The Spirit came upon Peter. You know, there's a fresh infilling. It's just not a one-time or a two-time thing. It ought to be every day, right before you get up. Lord, fill me with the Spirit because I got to go take a shower. I got to go to work, I think, today, Lord. Just fill me with your Spirit that I might walk in that. I'm married, Lord. Give me a double dose of your Spirit. Just so that my wife could put up with me. Are you praying that way? Are you starting to say, Lord, I'm in your body. I belong to you. Let me serve. Let me see. Let me work. Pray about those things. Let's bow our heads together.